Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
you got it! It's time for episode 613 of Who Charted, the show where comedians discuss the top five songs and video games of the week. Please welcome him back. Here he is from Doughboys and Get Played, Nick Weiger.
Wow. Hi.
Straight into the guest intro.
I love it.
We're mixing it up.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. I got all confused because I didn't know what time the episode was. I mean, what number the episode was. Okay. Sorry about that. Threw me off.
That's all right.
Okay. Well, hey, you're here. It's good to have you.
My pleasure to be here. Let's talk some audio. Let's talk some music. I spend so much time talking and listening to like I listen to a lot of audiobooks and I listen to a lot of podcasts. I feel like I spend less time like thinking about music these days, but obviously people love music.
Okay, so you'll be an outside perspective. You'll be kind of a macro perspective. We'll get like an overview of changes throughout the whole scene.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, I've been mocked for this before, but I've remarked on, and I don't drive much anymore, but when I would drive more, I'd often just like drive with nothing playing, just be alone with my thoughts. Just
sort of I do that. I do that too.
Honestly, you do that too? Okay, great.
Yeah. I music is my first passion in life, but somehow I just find myself, I don't do it consciously.
Right.
I'll like have to remind myself, I could listen to music right now if I want to.
Yeah, no,
but it's just something about being in the car silently.
I think also like there's so much going on in LA and so much to see. It's like you almost don't need the music. But I hear music like when I'm stationary at my house. Yeah, I don't hear it so much when I'm on the move.
Wow. Okay.
It is true that music has way more competition these days than it feels like it ever did.
Yeah.
Like in terms
podcasts.
Of your ear real estate.
Oh, gosh. Audiobooks, ASMR, of course.
Yes, of course.
That stuff delivers
cake
all
farts.
The punch. It delivers all the punch of an entire song in like 5 seconds. Got to be careful. Respect that stuff. It's powerful.
They've hacked into how to give you that frisson feeling, frisson. Immediately.
Yeah.
Does it work for you, for either of you? Because
no.
I've done it before. I don't get the ASMR tinglies, but I know people who have.
Yeah, I definitely have. I've gotten it.
You have?
Many
okay.
times. And even from like those binaural beats or just those tones, I get it from that stuff too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I mean, I've gotten it from Public Enemy many times. So there's just certain, I mean, the production, there's certain tones in there that just, that go into the primal spinal fluid or something.
I know the feeling that it's chasing. Like, I know what that feels like. And I even know, I think like in, like organically in life, that feeling of somebody, if somebody's whispering in your ear or whatever, like what it's supposed to give you. But I don't. They can't just give it to me on command the way that they claim.
Okay.
I like the idea that Howard, like the same sensation that people are getting from like a woman, like super close to the microphone applying chapstick. Howard's getting that same sensation from Flavor Flav.
Yeah. So wash your ass. Oh.
Uh-huh. I should have been on his show. I should have tried to get with him.
Yeah. So,
it's primal sounds and stuff like that. And they're using it to hack into to our brains. Getting more powerful. Wow. YouTube just used to be people giving funny instructionals and stuff.
Right.
Now it's like it's weaponized. They're coming at you.
Yeah.
I definitely feel that. And I have a couple of younger nieces and nephews, and they are, I'm always conscious of like what YouTube streamers they're watching or what Twitch streamers they're watching.
Yeah.
And I'll just be like, okay, has Markiplier switched from like Minecraft to like fascist politics? Because right. I'm so worried about, someone being indoctrinated inadvertently by just like casual consumption of whatever's entertaining them.
That's the pipeline.
Just kind of. Yeah, it becomes 100%. A norm for them to hear certain comments and things like that.
Should we get in the music chart? What do you think?
Let's do it.
I love it.
Howard's going to rap the history of music.
Well, here we go. Music. We used to play LPs, 8-tracks, cassettes, and CDs. Now we download and we stream. What's next? NFTs? Tunes. Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah. History of music. I happen to see there's a documentary about Lil Baby on Amazon Prime that I checked out. Yeah.
There's also a doc on CCR on Netflix. Have you heard
about
this?
Let's talk about that one.
Well, no, I'm just there's kidding. Competing docs.
Oh, yeah. Those two current artists going head to head. Hell of a battle. No, just with Lil Baby, it's crazy. I still don't get him as an artist. I mean, I root for him as a guy. I like the story. I like everything he's doing and talking about. And then the song starts and I go, I don't know. I don't get it. But same with Drake for so long, but Lil Baby too. I guess I'm proud to say it. The new generation, they just have a different set of ears, and that makes sense to them, I guess.
I'm not really familiar with Lil Baby. And what, like, so can you give like sort of a synopsis for someone who's maybe, has heard the name but is less familiar with the discography?
Okay. He's like the voice of this generation, they say.
Okay.
He sounds like a mumble rapper. He does a lot of mumbling, except he actually does have a lot of lyrics. Doesn't write anything down. That's kind of very normal these days, but just somehow it's connected to be the voice of the generation. He was a drug dealer. He didn't want to be a rapper, and then all these famous rappers talked him into being a rapper. So I think that also gives him like a ton of legitimacy that he wasn't even really looking to do it, and then he was just so good at it naturally that they all said you got to do it. So
that's probably the coolest way into any industry.
Yeah.
That's a great backstory of just like, I didn't really want to do it. They recruited me.
Yeah. But they say like even Young Thug, who's a super big artist, he would say to him, like, how much are you going to make today? And if Lil Baby said like 20,000, Young Thug would just give him 20,000 cash and say, just go home, like stay off the streets. Don't hustle today. Like he said he would have given him $1 million if that's what he needed, because he just fully believed in him. So it really is a backstory. But then it's like right now the song came on, you'd be like kind of like bored after 45 seconds.
Right.
I'm just being honest. That's just me. But I do root for him. I like the guy and the story.
And so the doc, I imagine, covers a lot of his history. And this is a thing that I feel like has been happening more recently, is like kind of the Insta doc about a current artist.
Yes.
Like it's like
they
used to wait. It used to be like, hey, here's a career retrospective. It's coming out like when the CCR doc is coming out. It's more traditional, timing, or the Bowie doc that just came out posthumously.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, or concert film. I'm not sure what it is exactly. But like, now these days there'll be like a. I'm trying to think of another one, but I've been seeing these crop up. It's just like, here's a document. Here's someone who's working right now, and this is what their day-to-day life is like.
Yeah. I, right. Yeah. Also, I think like Katy Perry, like, you know, mid tour, Taylor Swift, sure. Billy One Eilish. Direction.
Taylor Swift, that was
when they
one,
were
yeah.
together. Yeah. But they're very effective at giving you the whole backstory, even if you're resistant to it as just like a casual fan. I've never seen one, except for maybe Lady Gaga's, I've never seen one that where it didn't make me root more for the artist.
Sure.
Of Gaga's. Course. Gaga's was just, she was like, took the camera to her grandma's house and was trying to like make it a big deal that she was there and the grandma didn't give a shit. But for all the others, they work really well.
You both have toured and the thing that I found, and I had this feeling while watching the Elvis movie, my touring consists of just podcasting, but it is still, even though I'm up there on stage with my co-host and we're to be like, the onion rings needed more salt. Like, it's just like even though we're doing that for 90 minutes, it is just exhausting. Like I come, I finish it off and I feel like I've run a 10K. I'm so fucking wiped after doing that show. And like you go to, and then it's like, hey, get on a plane, go to the next city, or hey, get in a car, go to the next city. And I like my feeling, you know, watching Elvis or like, you know, being conscious of just artists who are touring in general was just like, man, I can't imagine being like, this is a band my wife likes, Cobra Man. And it's like Cobra Man puts on this amazing, spectacular show. And like, how much more energy is that? So I understand why Elvis has to, like, you know, check into a hospital room for exhaustion. Because it's just like, how can you maintain that rate of, how can you maintain that burn rate?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just he's putting so much into the performances and then the hassles of getting from place to place. And then back then, touring wasn't even a figured out industry. So it's like a lot more rough. They make them do shows without regard to scheduling and, you know, just start giving them pills and stuff.
Imagine if you were shaking your hips like that during a Doughboys concert.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Just how wiped you would be then.
Do people offer you food backstage and stuff?
We do. We get a lot of food. We'll get like people will have we had in Milwaukee, they had a cake made for us. And it was one of those things like, wow, this is awesome. They made this cake, but also, God, I really don't want to eat a piece of cake right now. But I will because it's nice. But I'm so fucking full and exhausted. We'll get
thinking,
a lot of food.
How dare you bring a cake? You know I'm gonna be put on the spot and have to eat this one.
But it was a lovely gesture. It was super nice, but it is like people 100% want us to taste their local snacks, their local wares. We had someone in Seattle who brought us like a box of frozen shrimp. They're like, what are we going to do with this? What was your thought process? Two guys are going to carry on some frozen shrimp back to LAX? Like, what were you thinking?
Let's haul this back to LA and cook it just to see if it's as good as he says it is.
Keep it cool.
That's crazy. At least bring stuff that's edible at the time. Do people bring like their local Wendy's or like just they go, you know, do people rally behind a national brand, like some regional version of it? That's kind of a weird question, I guess.
No, it's not a weird question at all, because it's in fact much of what we end up, what we encounter when we're touring is we'll go to a place like, you know, Culver's is so beloved in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And people are like, you have to go to Culver's. And God forbid if you go to Culver's and don't have a great experience. We did have a great experience at Culver's, but there's all sorts of those places. We've run into local favorites. You know, as speaking to Seattle again, because that's on the brain because it was recent. We went to one of their places, Ivar's Acres of Clams. And it's a place that is they like it's beloved up there. And the guy, I think his name is Ivar. It might have been.
Oh, wait, I know them. They have a gray menu that looks like a clam.
Yes.
I have the menu. Yeah, I have the menu. Yeah.
And the guy was actually involved in music. He was like a local folk artist who had his own chain restaurant. And so he's kind of like a beloved local figure there. There's a statue of him by the dock. But then we went there and the food was awful. We were just like, this place, we were doing the show and like people like paid money to hear us tell them that their local favorite sucked. And it was just like a really weird experience.
Is it like fast food clams? Fried, that does not seem to go together.
Here's what it was like. It was like a Bubba Gump shrimp chump, Bubba Gump shrimp company minus like the theme. It was right. like that tier of like bad sit down,
yeah.
You know, like frozen seafood,
dead fish on a piece of paper.
Exactly. It was that sort of shit, but it just like didn't have like Run Forrest Run on the table that you can turn around.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. That's interesting to get the history of that place. Yeah. It happens to where there's places people love and the food's terrible.
Yes.
Sometimes because the drinks are good, but then other times they don't even serve drinks and it's just some local thing people got behind.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, so much of it, I think, is just like, hey, you find it with food and you find it with music. It's like what, like so much of like what hit you at the right point in your life. Like for me, you know, I've lived in Southern California my entire life. In-N-Out Burger was good report card. You could objectively say like, hey, this is a better quality of burger that you could find somewhere else. But like for me, I just have such nostalgia for In-N-Out Burger that I'm never going to find a bite that satisfying anywhere else.
Right. Yep. It's all hooked into your DNA and your brain
100%.
Patterns and all that. What about licorice pizza? Did that give you, was that the way you grew up?
I wish I met John Peters. My upbringing was much more suburban, much less involved in like the LA part of LA. I was in down in Long Beach. So a little bit removed from all that.
Okay. Out there. Right on.
Let's get into the music chart. We got the Apple Music. The top in the U.S.
All right.
So coming in at number five.
Number five.
Bad Bunny, Chencho Corleone with Me Porto Bonito.
Hey, what about Taco Cabana? Did you ever have that when you were in Texas?
Did we? I don't think we got around to Taco Cabana. The place we went to was Torchy's in Austin.
Oh, okay, yeah. Torchy's is a lot newer. Back in the day, I mean this. I mean Taco Cabana is. I mean even Linklater was into it. Like it's like it's bad but great, and it's better than most. It's just that you got to check that one out. Taco Cabana.
I bet I'd love it. Yeah, well, we haven't been back to Texas in a while, but I'd love to cover that.
Right on.
What's go-to at Taco Cabana? What do you get there?
Oh, I would always get like just chicken enchiladas with beans and rice. Very, very, you know, basic stuff.
Right.
But you know what? There's a not suitable story I have related to that place. I'll tell that on Too Charted. Really? How about that start? I'll save that for Too Charted.
All right.
Let me just ask you
for
real quick.
For subscribers only, if you go to whochartedpod.com and subscribe, you can hear Howard's not suitable story.
There you go. You can buy it right there at the chart mark. Yeah. So let me ask you though, what is the best, you know, of the Del Taco, Taco Cabana? What's the best one you've come across?
Well, look, I'm a Del Taco partisan. A lot of that comes from me. You know, that was what I grew up with. But I do like Taco. I think, you know, on a national level, it's hard to top Taco Bell. I feel like they just have such, you know, they're consistent across different locations. Their app is fantastic, which is huge in this day and age. And also, I'll say this as someone who ate vegetarian for all of 2021 and tries to minimize my meat consumption in general. Yeah. It's like probably the best trashy fast food option for vegetarians. You can sub beans for any protein. They have a lot of vegetarian items already just included on their menu and integrated into their app. So, yeah, I'm a big Taco Bell fan.
Okay, but right on. But hey, up in the Pacific Northwest, I got dosed by them. It turns out their bean burrito had like meat chunks in it.
Oh, wow.
Like
wow.
There was some part of the sauce that had meat in it.
What era was this?
This was like 7 years ago. I was on the road with Kyle Kinane. I was like, you're getting an extra burrito. He's like, thanks, man. I can't eat it. They dosed me.
I feel like growing up, I always loved Taco Bell. But I feel like at some point, I almost feel like it was at the point where they went to the sort of like purple corporate logo design. Sure. Like they became less sort of traditional Taco Bell and more into this like future food, like laboratory menu where it's, it just felt like they were pushing.
They went digital,
the, you know, with like the chicken wrap supreme and the
high tech
food things, which I actually respect. And I think that that's kind of fun to have a place that's just thinking of like ridiculous ideas for food.
Yeah.
But Del Taco does, as someone who didn't even grow up with Del Taco, I kind of go there if I want
keep
that
it real.
Taste of the old Taco Bell.
Yeah, yeah, I love the Del. It's Del Taco, though, is a place where it's just certain locations are chaos. And I've never had a higher failure rate from a fast food place as far as my order being incorrect. Like so often I've gotten like, hey, this is the wrong quesadilla or, you know, whatever. Like when I was eating, I got protein and stuff I asked for as veggie from Del Taco so many times that I just kind of assumed it was going to be wrong at a certain point.
Well, probably because they assume that you're drunk. That's why you're eating it.
Right. Coming in at number four.
Number four.
Chris Brown with Under the Influence. Speaking of being drunk.
I don't know why this shit got me lazy right now. Yeah. Can't do Percocets on my leg. I'm turning one and trying to live it up. Hit it right, right, right. Baby, you, yeah, right. Bring it up to my place. You be like, baby, who cares? But I know you care.
See, that's such a, that sounds like such a good slow jam for people to have sex to that I think they'll overlook that he's Chris Brown. I mean, it's at number four. I mean, it, you know, it's at number four.
So it seems like he's trying to sing in a new voice. Like maybe
that was
the
a little
younger
different.
Crowd.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't want people to recognize him.
Yeah, more auto-tune, more slurry kind of.
Yeah.
Can I say something about Bad Bunny real quick? Because I'm not super familiar with him, but I'm a fan because he's a huge pro wrestling fan.
Oh, really?
And he actually ended up wrestling in a WWE match, like, you know, for one of their pay-per-views a few months back. And it was one of those things where just like, you know, sometimes a celebrity will go in and it'll be just like a really half-assed effort. They won't. That's like, it's like Trump in the ring. You know what I mean? It's just like he's not even selling the moves right. He's just kind of there collecting a check, but it's he's there for the celebrity factor. But Bad Bunny, like, fully committed. He like trained, you know, he worked his ass off, and it's just like, oh man, I just love performers who, because I'm not the best natural performer, but I really, really admire people who just like work their asses off at their craft and become really great performers. And I just like, oh, this guy's going to put the work in to try to do the best wrestling match he has because that's the gig. I kind of love that.
Yes. Well, Bruno Mars is, I guess, awesome. Springsteen, people that you could tell, the guy from Flaming Lips.
Wayne Coyne.
Yeah. I mean, that guy like makes costumes all day long, like for each show. Like you were talking about the effort of like touring and like putting all that into it. He's like all day long. Yeah.
Remember Pink? Like, I feel like recently Pink started doing the whole like
acrobatic
stuff. Like, just flying over the whole audience.
That's more
like,
bringing your workout hobby to the stage.
It seems so unnecessary.
Like she's got a rock climbing wall over like her instructor's there. Come on.
I met Bruno Mars once. This was when I worked at Funny or Die, and he ended up doing a Funny or Die video. And as part of the process, it's like everyone goes and depending on the celebrity, they either, you know, come to meet you, or if they're big enough, like Bruno Mars, you go to meet them. And so we went to Bruno Mars's recording studio, and you guys know how recording studios can get. It was just one of those ones where the AC was off. It was just super fucking hot. I was like sweating my ass off, literally to the point where I was there weren't enough chairs, and, you know, I'm just one dorky comedy writer there trying to, you know, pitch to one of the biggest pop stars in the world. And so I was sitting on an end table, and I could just feel like my ass crack sweating onto this end table in the recording studio. The point I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm so worried that I'm going to stand up and leave like a streak of like crack sweat in front of this guy and have to shake his hand. So like I had my paper where they had that I was writing notes on. I just was like, okay, this is the heist I'll pull off. And just like as soon as I stood up, I just reached behind me and like wiped the table off surreptitiously.
The ideas will sop up the stress.
It's humiliating.
That's amazing.
Did he like your idea? Did you
He was very nice and he laughed at everything. He seemed like he wasn't trying to be too cool, but he ended up doing a thing that he wanted to do, which was just like he just wanted to do a cover of What a Man. He wanted to do a comedy video of that. And Ryan Briggs.
So he was just humoring you.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. It was that process.
Right on.
All right. Coming in at number three, Sam Smith and Kim Petras with Unholy.
Lucky girl, she got married to a boy like you. She kick you out if she ever, ever knew about all the you tell me that you do. Dirty, dirty boy, you know everyone is talking on the scene. I hear them whispering about the places that you've been.
That's intense.
Yeah.
I didn't know Sam Smith did songs like that.
Me too. I was just about to say, I thought of him as like some adult contemporary singer.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe he's feeling liberated and he's just going for craziness.
Mm. Yeah, second act.
Yeah. I liked it. I mean, it's intense. Felt like Phantom of the Opera or something. I don't know what was going to happen.
I just learned, that there's I don't know anything about musicals, but apparently there was one just called Phantom. That wasn't Phantom of the Opera.
Really? I just thought that was the nickname for Phantom of the Opera.
There was another one called Phantom. And then one of the songs was something like, the Phantom has invaded the opera. The Phantom has invaded the opera. It's just like the
weird.
Same exact shit.
Was it like just a rock reimagining? Like they just kind of told the same story?
I don't know. It's just
that's like, weird.
It was like the Asylum Films version of the musical. Uh-huh. It was like how they'll make their Transformers. It's called like Transmorphers, just to like trick dads at Redbox. Right. Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. All right. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
Steve Lacy, Bad Habit. Dropping in number two. This has been number one for weeks. Sad buddy, thought you were too good for me, my dear. Never gave me time of day, my dear. It's okay, things happen for reasons that I think are sure, yeah. I wish I knew you.
Big song. Hey, I learned something interesting about this.
Yeah?
Does all of this on his phone.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and he's got the number one, all of it, and he's just like sitting there in a t-shirt, and he goes, I just start out with a simple beat, and I mean, his regular size phone, and then he plays the guitar into it, and then just sitting there on his stool, he's like doing the vocals. It's all on his phone.
I wonder if that's like the first case of that,
I can't.
Big one, maybe, of a number one like that,
All I remember seeing it crazy. I remember seeing a thing of a thing I was reading online of like people who are talking about writing like scripts or essays on their phone. Like, crazy. Oh yeah, I write the whole thing on in my notes app. It's like, how do people work like that?
I know. But I think you gotta be young enough that the first way you worked and you're just used to it.
Right.
See, yeah. To streak it down to that small is insane. Eminem used to do that tiny little writing.
Remember yeah. That? Oh right. Yeah.
In the 8 Mile, I don't think he would do that.
He had like a 6-point font on his phone.
Yeah, he needs big bifocals.
All right, coming in at number one.
Number one,
Gorilla with Cardi B with Tomorrow 2. Nigga, I just seen them on the town before. I can't be up in her face, I took her nigga down before. When I lose a nigga, I just pop out and go find some more. Soon as I feel like my time get wasted, then it's time to go. They say they don't fuck with me, but I say they can't fuck with me. Just like the air, I'm everywhere. How you say it so with me? Them bitches should have stayed down. They could have been up to me, but all they doing is talking down. Cause they can't get up with me. My ex fucking on my old friend.
Okay.
Wow.
This thing Glorilla. Is so, I gotta reveal right now. Now, that's already one of my picks for the hot picks.
Oh, really?
We'll do the second verse with Cardi B.
Okay.
It's got some of the best, funniest Cardi B shit I've heard. All over that song. Love it. Happy it's number one. Yeah.
Yeah, production's really cool. A perilous karaoke song. Careful with that one.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But I liked it. Sounded great.
Especially when you think you're signing up for tomorrow. Like, tomorrow.
Oh, no.
That starts playing. Wow, yeah. I'm always struck these days how, like, a song that aggressive will just be number one now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's great.
Gives people what they want without filters, you know?
Yeah.
Smut, baby.
That's also very much like what I find these streaming charts are open to, you know, and then like if you still look at Billboard, it's going to be a little cleaner.
Yes.
I feel like, but I don't know where like, the truth is, you know?
Yeah, it's cool. It's like payola over there or something like that. I mean, when SoundScan first came in, that's when rap albums first started going number one because people could like couldn't argue with the actual numbers.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, what's the difference between Billboard? Why is it always a little different over there?
It is very slow on Billboard. Like it'll just be the five major hits of the year are still kind of up there.
Are there fast food charts that seem a little off to you?
It's interesting because they'll categorize them by you know, different metrics. So, you know, like in terms of number of restaurants, then you've got like Subway's number one. But if you talk in terms of revenue, or then it's a different answer. If you talk about revenue per restaurant, then it's like Chick-fil-A's number one. You talk about like worldwide footprint, you're looking at something like Starbucks. So, yeah, it's all over the map depending on how you measure it.
Where does Wiener Schnitzel stack up with all that?
Oh. Wiener Schnitzel's in bad shape.
99.
Oh, no, man. That's my place.
You know I love Wiener Schnitzel. They're closing them up.
I know what number they are. I just happen to know.
What? Yeah.
99. 99. 999.
Like Luft Wallons. Yeah. Der Wiener Schnitzel. My dad still calls it Der Wiener Schnitzel.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's beautiful when they're a signature like that. I mean, they own the whole German thing, right? No one else. I mean, who else is doing German? No one else.
It was invented by like an Orange County guy, though, I think. Like there's no actual.
Yeah, well, that explains why Wiener Schnitzel is like a hot dog place when the actual dish Wiener Schnitzel has no connection to hot dogs.
No connection. Yeah. And it's spelled wrong. Wiener is spelled wrong too.
Hey, well, you know what? They're taken to the NFL over in Germany, so just go slow with them. They'll figure it out.
Go slow with them.
Go slow. Hey, that was a lot of fun. Great chart, and we'll be right back with the video games chart.
All right. Greetings, Chartists. I'm here to tell you about Factor. They're sponsoring today's episode, and I am a big fan of Factor. I've been subscribing myself to their meal service, and I love it. So I'm not just a podcaster. I'm a client. So eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. They're not lying right there. Every single meal is 2 minutes flat in the microwave. I wouldn't even mind going for 3 minutes. I mean, I have a spare minute, but no, 2 minutes, you're good. It's hot. It's delicious. It's fresh tasting. I don't know how they do it. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. I think I'm on the Protein Plus. I love it. And, it feels like no two meals are alike. There's a lot of options there. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. I actually haven't taken advantage of that yet. I'm excited to. That sounds great. I have had some of their drinks. They got some like smoothies and like cold brew lattes. They're delicious, and they're just perfect on the go, super quick. I often forget to eat. I got all these podcasts I'm making, recording, editing. Oops, I'm all of a sudden starving. I have no time to eat. And Factor has been a godsend for that reason. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. And if you're looking for something even more gourmet, try these premium ingredients they have, like filet mignon shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Wow, this is giving me all sorts of ideas to upgrade my next delivery. So it's no fuss, no mess meals. Totally eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You just throw it in the microwave and it's so good. And the textures are all right. It's not like microwave dinners of old that are like encrusted onto the plastic. No, this feels like somebody made this dinner from scratch for you and just put a little plastic over it. It's fully ready to heat up and serve. Tailored to your schedule, you can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. You can pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. I had to take a couple weeks off at one point. It was super easy to go to the website, just skip a week here and there. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. You say it's your Earth Day. Well, happy Earth Day to you. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. That's pretty cool. So head to factormeals.com/WhoCharted50 and use code WhoCharted50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. Wow. That's code WhoCharted50 at factormeals.com/WhoCharted50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Factor.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
My name is H. Michael Cray, and I'm here with my guest, Nick Weiger, and...
Hi,
Brett Morris.
And this is the Video Games Chart.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Remember this theme song?
Video no.
Games,
oh my God.
You love. Sit on your ass and play them. Work that stick, yell at that screen.
Oh my God. That's from another lifetime. I would never have recalled that ever. That's great. Thanks for having a deep, deep folder.
Yeah, that's right. I still have all the archives ready to go.
Right on. Okay.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. We don't always have a video game enthusiast. I myself am a bit of one, but usually not like the most mainstream of games. So we'll see what's on this. I was looking for charts for this, and then I realized that Steam like just came out with these new charts.
Steam has a new chart. Okay, I know that's what people use to download games because they're not going to GameStop no more.
Yeah, I mean it's something like 80%, 70-80% of all game sales now are digital. I mean, there are still people who buy physical games. I've honestly switched to buying physical games recently because just because I'm like so worried of losing media, you know?
Yes.
I think that's happened with games, it's happened with I'm sure it happens with music, and I know it's happened with movies, is stuff just gets taken offline, you can't find it.
Yeah,
it's like
huge market for DVDs and all that, just for in places where, people don't trust the services and there's connectivity issues as well. So, yeah, big market for the physical media, which is
great. I definitely have like a sunk cost thing with Steam, I will say, where it's just like I'm so bought in and I have so many games now on that library that I'm like, where am I going to go? Like I
100%. No. Yeah. This is the thing with if you're talking Steam, you're talking, you know, the platform for PC games, and now they have the Steam Deck, which is a Switch. It's like a handheld. I'm completely in that ecosystem, and there's not really a way to buy physical PC games, like, period.
Right. So let's check out this chart.
Wow.
Coming in at number five.
Number five.
This is the weekly top sellers. So
okay.
This is the top, like the top 100 by revenue this week.
Wow.
Coming in at number five, Cyberpunk 2077.
This game's having a resurgence. This game.
Yes.
You get your beauty sleep? Time you got up.
You can see the trailer, Howard.
Yeah.
Well, this is weird. It's like more anime style.
Yeah, so this is part of why this game is back on top because it was released in 2020. It was released years ago and a couple years ago, and it was actually kind of a critical, at least, debacle on release because they rushed it out, and it was you rush out a movie, it might just like the edit might be a little bit, the edit might be wonky, it might not have a great flow, you know, it might have some effects that don't look great. But if you rush out a game, it can just be outright broken. And that was the case with Cyberpunk. A lot of the stuff, the shit just didn't work.
Yeah, I got it basically at launch.
Me too.
And I did, like, I got it on PC and I did enjoy it, but I could see that it was like very unfinished.
I remember at the time I was saying cyber junk more than what I'm saying.
Yeah, I remember that. It was tough but fair.
The
developer has CD Projekt Red, like they patched it up a bunch. But also the other thing is, and you were seeing the anime there, they released this anime Cyberpunk Edgerunners. It's on Netflix. And so, to everyone's shock, it's fucking great. It's
a really
good show. Yeah, it's been at the top of like the Netflix charts. So I think they like that's a big part of what's motivating this surge in sales. Okay. Of the game.
Yeah, right. They've also like continually upgraded it.
Fixed
all the patches. So it almost seems to me like it's now in a state where it's probably a pretty great game. But I might have to dive back into it at some point.
It's busted, but it was busted at the time I played it. I still enjoyed it. It's got some really good, you know, storytelling and narrative design, and the aesthetics are really cool. But the anime is just really, really well done. And
that's so
I think
interesting.
That's, yeah, check it out.
The smart of them to right put on that
it,
out.
It had like a Jollibee kind of vibe to it. If we were going to go fast food,
Jollibee. I've not been in a Jollibee ever.
Oh, treat yourself. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I like Jollibee. They have really good fried chicken there.
I got it at a party once. I never had it at.
Are there any major chains like, or you know, ones that we would know that you haven't covered yet? Probably not.
Probably the big one hanging out there is Applebee's.
Really?
We have not reviewed Applebee's yet.
Oh, that's
sit down. Or?
Yeah. It's sit down. Okay. Applebee's, there isn't one super, super close to LA. And then also it's one of those things where we have a guest who really wants to do Applebee's. And so it's a matter of like syncing up their availability with when we can actually make it out there. But it's going to happen. Yeah.
That's like the Tom
Keanu
Hanks
Reeves.
Episode.
Keanu Reeves wants to do Applebee's. Hey, just out of curiosity, where is the closest Applebee's to like Hollywood or whatever?
I think it's TMZ. I think there is one in the TMZ. There's some in LA County, but they're a bit of a haul. Okay. Like they're not in the LA city limits.
Right on. I went to a Chili's out by Lake Elsinore. Starred, you were there.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah.
For the Goo Cruise video.
We had a good experience there.
Yeah.
I grew up loving
order by
Chili's.
Tablet.
Like, me too.
Chili's was like where we went if we, you know, for a family night out. And it's just gone way downhill, right? Cause I hear people like bag on Chili's, and in my childhood memory, it was great. Like, it was just, everyone loved it.
I still am a Chili's defender. Our last experience was, pretty good. I actually went to Chili's not for the podcast, when I was in Sacramento for a wedding and had a fine meal there.
You went to a wedding at Chili's?
Well, it was a Chili's wedding, yeah. I think what's happened with a lot of these sit down chain restaurants is it's like the economy at large is kind of the middle has fallen out where it's like that used to be a place where, you know, people would go out and now the people who would go there don't have as much expendable income. And then the people who do have expendable income are going to like the fancy local farm to table place.
Right.
So like it's the Jollibee's and then it's the, you know, the three Michelin star places that are doing all the business.
Right. So they've slid down a little. That's a great.
A little bit, I think.
I think there's a really interesting thing with like psychology in places like that where I can never tell, like, has the place changed a little bit or have I changed? Where, like, you know, everywhere, like Five Guys or Shake Shack or whatever, like when they hit the scene, it's so popular. There's lines out the door. People are saying it's the best thing they've ever had. And then you have it now and you're like, is this as good as it was then or not? Like, because it makes sense that they would cheapen ingredients.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of it's the hype, and it's like it's new at the time, so it seems so great because it's new. And then now you're used to it; it's not new. Happens with Pornhub. You're like, right. What happened?
Yeah. You're like, used to be into this one. Used to do it for me.
Yeah. So I understand you on that level.
Yeah.
All right.
You can't go back and have the thing that you tried, 10 years ago. So it's
you can't go home again. Pornhub.
Yeah. You can't. Yeah.
All right. Coming in at number four.
Number four.
This is Slime Rancher 2.
Wow.
Oh, this is okay. Great. I don't know anything about this. Continue the adventures of Beatrix Labou as she journeys across the slime sea to Rainbow Island, a land brimming with ancient mysteries, bursting with wiggly new slimes to wrangle in the sequel to the smash hit Slime Rancher. Okay.
Very soothing aesthetic. Yes. Very colorful.
I bet like furries play this game.
It's like a first person shooter, but very fun and childish looking. Or like,
it looks like gummy worms or something, like a synthetic candy kind of a look.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned Brett buying a bunch of games on Steam, and Slime Rancher 1 is one of those games I bought on Steam when it was on sale, and I just have not gotten around to play it. But it is a thing. The podcaster Kirk Hamilton from the Triple Click podcast has come up with this categorization for this type of game, Soothcore, which is like, it's like a game that you play that like just makes you feel like relaxed, and versus like you play like a Call of Duty Warzone, you're getting amped up. This is the kind of game you can put on and just sort of chill for a little bit.
Yeah. This is like ASMR of video games.
Yeah. No, yeah. 100%. Accomplishing the same thing.
Yeah. It's the same thing kind of with music too. I find like that with Steam and PC games, especially where like you can find some of the most genius artistic achievements like you've ever played. And no one in your life even knows about this thing.
Yes.
And because it's like, it's not all on the top 40. It's not all on the radio anymore. It's not all like in Blockbuster anymore where you're just renting the same games.
It's fragmented.
It's all fragmented.
Yeah.
But so many of these indie developers are just putting out these like works of absolute genius. I swear by.
100%.
It's cool to hear that we're in sort of a golden age. People will look back at like, wow, look at all the great creative stuff. As a sort of semi outsider to this, it always seemed like the indie developers and stuff are pushing for more tools to do better games, and so maybe this is that kind of coming to fruition.
There's a game I played recently that I swear by that I keep recommending to people I know, and I don't think anyone's taken me up on it, but I swear to you, it'll be like your favorite game.
Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah, Leisure Suit. By the way, the newer Leisure Suit Larrys are good. They're pretty good. They're
you
like
played Leisure Suit Larry. Wet games. Dreams Don't Die.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you
I'm
like
kind
them?
Of like a. I'm a like a point and click, sort of like enthusiast. Like I love those types of games. I play the shittiest games ever. I just love that format. I've played a lot of games.
It was called Wet Dreams.
Wet Dreams, wet don't, dreams dry.
Don't Die.
Don't Dry.
Oh, Don't Dry. Don't oh, that's dry. Even better.
No, but that one's actually a pretty solid, well-rounded game. Like, I'll defend that one. It's not like, it's not really, I mean, it's all tongue-in-cheek, like, it's dumb humor, but, it's actually built pretty well. Like, the puzzles are pretty good.
I'm going to play it. I'm curious, as a point and click enthusiast, the game I'm playing now is Return to Monkey Island. Have you messed around with that?
I just finished it. I just finished it the other day. Yeah. I think that's
rad.
Like a 30 year, like bucket list kind of thing for me.
Right.
I have a lot of thoughts on it. I think it was good, but I don't think it was. 30 year
bucket list. What do you mean?
Well, because the original creator of the first two is now back on board making like his, promised third install. There's been a few sequels, but
it's like a 30-year-old video game.
This is like, George Lucas taking back, the original Star Wars or something like that. Like it's the original creator making the third game, which was like a mythical idea for a long time for people who loved the first ones.
Right.
Yeah. Ron Gilbert made Monkey Island, Secret of Monkey Island, and Monkey Island 2. And that was in the 90s. That was it. Because I remember that was a game I got like on. I got like on floppy disks from my grandpa.
For sure.
It was old.
Yeah.
It was that fucking old. And so I was like a kid playing this game at the first one and loved the first and second one. The third one was not developed by Ron Gilbert. It was actually pretty good still.
It's really
Curse
good.
Of
yeah.
Monkey Island.
It
yeah.
is good.
And then the fourth one kind of stunk. And then there's just a long hiatus. I think it's been like 20 years.
There was the Telltale did like a.
Oh, I forgot about the Telltales. Yes. Yeah.
Episodic one. And those are all like pretty good, but those first two were like, I mean, that's like my childhood. Those first two are so good and they're still so good today. There's been like a million knockoffs and even the knockoffs can be pretty good, but it was just exciting for him to make a new one. And I have criticisms, but it was fun to do it again. It was fun.
When I roll credits on that game, I'm going to text your ear off about it. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good stuff. Oh, yeah. But Supra Land, it's called. Not Super, but Supra. And you won't believe this description of it, but it's true. It's like Mario and Zelda and like a Metroidvania all sort of in one. And Portal a little bit. Like it is so fun. It is perfectly designed for just pure fun. I don't know how else to describe it. Like,
that's one of those indie ones you're talking about?
Yeah, it's pretty like indie, and it has a similar look to that Slime Rancher in terms of just like simple, fun, kind of goofy aesthetic. But it's just very smart.
Right now,
it's very, very smart. Like when you play it, you're getting like constant upgrades and you're just having a blast like getting the new tool, the grappling hook thing, and using that to get past the new area. And
my fear with this segment is that maybe you guys might nerd out on specific games too much. That's my fear. But no, that's good.
Super
keeping
Land,
everybody
Super
included.
Land. Check it
Thank
out.
You. I've been on Pornhub for the last 5 minutes.
By the way, Steam.
Seen it.
Steam has all these porn games now. Have you seen
they
any
do.
Of these? They're hilarious. They are really funny. Like if you watch the trailers.
Like what, you try to get laid or what are you doing them?
Yeah, I think it's like.
You better get laid
know.
If it's a porn.
You're choosing
game.
Like your next line, like how to flirt. But then it will go roll like a 3D kind of animated porn scene.
Yeah, there's actually like a seduction trainer with live action video that was like made by real pickup artists that was
oh
meant it was
God.
Like you choose your own pickup line and it would tell
oh, so
you
so you're learning how to seduce.
Yeah,
wow, exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
I'll admit I got really into a couple of hentai games, Honey Pop and Honey Pop 2 Double Date, which are both.
See, that's way beyond Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah, But they're puzzle games is the thing. They're just, they're like puzzle games, but then the reward at the end is almost like incidental, but the reward at the end is like, you know, anime girl takes her clothes off and it's just like, all right, sure. But like, it's a really good puzzle gameplay.
Yeah. Why
so
not?
Reading Playboy for the articles. Gotcha.
Exactly.
Right.
This would be a centerfold, you know, after this Vietnam article.
Oh, a Norman Mailer short story.
All right. Coming in at number three.
Cartoons. Number three.
This is Apex Legends. Apex Legends is an award-winning, free-to-play hero shooter from Respawn Entertainment. Master an ever-growing roster of legendary characters with powerful abilities and experience strategic
What's this
squad play.
Free-to-play stuff. What's that mean?
That's big, right?
Yeah,
I don't
it's
know
a big
how to
thing.
Describe it.
It's a big thing with games now is that they'll be like, Fortnite is the biggest example of just like, hey, this game you can download and you can play basically all of its content without spending a dime. But if you want the, you know, if you want to look, you want to wear the skin that makes you look like Drake or Goku from Dragon Ball Z, you know, you got to spend some real money on it. Or if you want this special gun, you know, you got to spend some real money on it. So that's the model of a lot of these games. And Apex Legends is one of
it's
the big
It's like
ones.
Life itself. I mean, you can hang out in any shirt you want, but it's going to cost you for a better one.
Yeah.
Apex Legends to me. Yeah. What were you going to say?
No, just I don't mind that. I'm just trying to bridge into NFTs to see what you think about that stuff. But I want to keep going.
Oh, I was just gonna say that to me is Apex Legends to me is kind of like my video game equivalent of like Lil Baby. Like, as like, I know right. it's huge, but I just like, I don't quite get it. Maybe not for me, but God bless all those kids for making it. Right. And all the kids who enjoy it.
Could be their first game.
Some of these games maybe the free-to-play format also lends itself to some of these games are like purely made for massive multiplayer like battling. And so I feel like they stay so popular for so long that some of these charts are almost misleading in that way.
Like, interesting. Well, yeah, because kids are just parked on them fighting each other.
Right. 100%. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm playing Splatoon 3 right now on Nintendo Switch. Do you play that at all?
That's just watching that on Pornhub. Right now. Splatoon.
I haven't messed around with the Splatoons. That's like a game. It's honestly, Howard, it's a lot. It looks a lot like a Slime Rancher 2. It's the same sort of thing. Like, it's like a shooter, but it's, you know, family friendly.
But it's sort of like, it's Nintendo style. So it's like paintball. And some of the battles are really about just covering as much ground with paint as you can, but it's multiplayer, you know, so it's like fast action.
It's like a Rauschenberg.
It's really fun, but I will say, like, I consider myself decently good at games and hand-eye coordination, and it's just like you just get fucking plowed by people so fast. Like, people get so good at it so fast that I just like can't compete with these kids. Yes. Just like blasting my ass immediately.
Yeah, they're you know? Like going to be pros. They're going to do it for a living.
It's like, it is frustrating, but, you know, I'm getting better at it.
You're going to go play pickup basketball at the park. It's not like, oh, I'm going to go play with all these 17-year-olds, you know, like I'm going to go play with all these the high school basketball team. I want to get some. Like, it's like, no, you're going to play with like people your age and your athleticism. Right. There really isn't that that sort of matchmaking does exist with games, but not really. It's not as robust and you can't self-select in the same way. So, yeah, a lot of times you're getting your ass handed to you by 12-year-olds.
I also feel like they design these games so carefully and probably like intelligently now, but sometimes it almost feels over-designed to where every single thing is a painful trade-off. Like, oh, if I wear this piece of gear, that gives me this, but then I have less of this. And it's all like, I don't want to have to like strategize like, you know, 100 things before I just get out there and like.
I'm going to recommend to you then Slime Rancher 2. It's a soothe-core game. Soothe-core, yeah. You don't have to worry about any of that stress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Okay, I know this stuff.
Yeah, there you go.
You know this. This is crazy. Wasn't the first Modern Warfare like years and years ago?
Yeah.
I think it's been a little bit of time. I don't play the Call of Duties myself. It's not my type of game, but...
Yeah.
I have friends big into this stuff, so, you know, I play with them sometimes.
Oh, there you go.
I remember these being incredible. I mean, they were based
they are
on
amazing.
The ones I was playing were based on real wars. So you were like, they had to use this kind of gun. Like, oh, that sucks. Like
Call of Duty used to be like World War II, you know, like kind of accurate. Like, let's simulate World War II.
Now it's all just like
now it's like
G.I. Joe movie.
12-year-olds, you know, an alt-right 12-year-olds, you know, sniping you.
And it has like it has the same features that you'll have in like a Fortnite where like you can get like a Snoop Dogg skin. So you can be you can look like Snoop Dogg and have a laser rifle.
Hell yeah.
And that you're playing this game that started as like, you know, a rigorously accurate recreation of like the invasion of Normandy. It's really
my
strange.
Rifle's jammed. My rifle's jammed. Yeah. Now you're a gangster.
You just sold me on it.
Cyber warrior.
That's so funny.
Killing really people strange. On another planet, but I'm Snoop Dogg. Yeah, that all makes sense.
Yeah.
Wild stuff. What's the best fast food to eat while playing a video game?
Oh. Great question. I'm a guy who, like, I will use a utensil because, or, you know, a handheld that's not going to get messy because a lot of stuff, like, it's just like, you know, if your hands are getting dirty, then that'll be a separate operation. It's just okay, I've got to go clean up and then I can resume gaming. But I think like a Panda Express, honestly, isn't a bad candidate.
Oh,
because, you know, you can have like, you have yourself a fork or some chopsticks. You got a bowl you're working with. And you can kind of keep gaming at the same time.
Right on. What about Mario? Why wasn't he in this top five?
There hasn't been a recent big Mario release.
Yeah. Also, it wouldn't be on Steam.
It's also wouldn't be on Steam, yeah, because Nintendo's got it their own platform.
Interesting stuff.
But yeah, if there's a Nintendo chart, I would do that next time. But
I would love to do that. We used to play that at your house, Sark.
Oh, yeah. We play Mario Kart.
You were taught, several times how things work over there. I lost most of the races. That was a lot of fun.
Got number one still.
Oh,
we got one more.
We got one more, but this is very interesting that this is even on this ranking. Number one is the Steam Deck itself.
What's
an interesting topic of conversation. You can see it right there on screen. It is Steam's own, handheld gaming device, but you can just play PC games on it.
But how is that the number one game?
I guess it's the number one selling thing this week on Steam.
Yeah. They sell it through the same store, and I think there's also like some self-interest here of like, hey, we're Steam. We want to make sure our hardware is at the top of our, chart. So more people buy it. And it's a hot item.
It's the hardware that's at the top.
This is fully Steam. Yeah, that's payola itself.
Thing. It's not even a part. That's if Billboard just decided like their umbrellas that they have Billboard on them. Like that was the number one single of the week.
Oh my God. Nick's pulling out a box.
Yeah. By the way,
Steam Deck? Ephemera. Yes. Let's do it.
I haven't unboxed
this yet.
Wow.
But I did get a Steam Deck.
Dude, nice. These are hard to get, right?
It's a big boy. Well, I'd forgotten I was on the waiting list. When it was announced, I put myself on the waiting list and I just got an email that like, hey, your number's up. It's ready to go. I was like, I don't really fucking need this thing, but when am I going to get the other opportunity? So
I'm debating. Flex, baby.
I'm debating whether or not to keep it, honestly, because I got it. Oh. I've just opened the box that it shipped in, but I haven't,
Wow.
I don't know if I'm going to keep it or if I'm going to
I'm going to give you my home address right now. I'll pay you for shipping. I'll double what you pay for shipping. Yeah.
That's really cool. I mean, it seems very, very impressive. I'm definitely interested.
So that's their version of the Switch, and they just came out with it.
But you can play high powered, PC games on it.
You were scrolling on the screen here past a price tier that to me looked very, very pricey. Indeed.
It is very pricey.
Well, so the Steam, the graphics are so good that they could get $500. What was that for a month or a year? What was that? $529.
Oh no, that's just for the device.
That's for the hardware.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So it starts at $399 for a small amount of storage. This is not one you'd probably want. And then it goes to $529.
How high could a gaming bill go? Non pros like yourself, like you might pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month for your gaming.
It's an outrageously expensive hobby. And honestly, that's the worst part about it is that if you're trying to keep up, to stay in the zeitgeist, to play new games as they release, because a new game now, they upped the price recently to, it basically new games launch at $70.
Yeah.
And so you think of am I going to, even if you're buying one new game a month, I mean, that's just an outrageous amount of money to spend on it. The nice thing is there are.
To the gaming company.
Yeah. The nice thing is that there's now services like Xbox Game Pass, which is like a Netflix for games, where you can't play necessarily first run games, but you can play, kind of like a catch all of a bunch of older releases. And that's a good way to catch up with your backlog. Yeah.
Well, that's the great thing about
it's too expensive.
Liking these weird, nerdy indie games that I like is that a lot of them on Steam are super cheap. Like some of them will be $5, like $10, maybe $20, but it's rare that I'm getting the AAA new game at $70.
Okay.
Vampire Survivors bought this year $3. It retails for $3. I've gotten so many hours. I've played it for 17 hours so far.
Yeah.
For the price of a big gulp, you can have, hours of entertainment if you make the right choice.
By the way, speaking of like payola and video games, have you guys heard the news in podcasting that came out today that iHeart has been doing and like bigger podcast companies?
I knew they were crooked. I'm just going to come out. I don't even need any news. I'm going to do a half hour dissertation.
This is crazy though. Because
we had an early meeting with them. Yeah. Kulop and I. Go ahead.
So they've been like cooking their numbers basically, or basically defrauding like advertisers, because they've been pushing podcasts in these free to play mobile games, you know, Farmville type mobile game. It'll be like, watch this video before you can, you know, go forward. Right. It'll take you to a podcast app. And it'll say you have to listen to 20 seconds of this podcast.
Oh, they're getting free numbers.
No, but then what happens is that your system's cache basically downloads the episode, even if you're only listening to 10, 15 seconds.
It makes it look like you did the whole thing.
So it makes it look like they can go to advertisers and say that person heard your ad.
Counts as a download.
It counts as a download. So they've been doing this in like basically getting millions of so-called followers or
so crooked
listens, you know, using this game promotion thing. It's really crazy.
My God.
It's all fake. It's all. Yeah. I worked in internet video. All that shit's fake. We were informed at a certain point that like, hey, yeah, basically, you know, we send views over to icanhascheeseburger.com via Norwegian bots, and then in return they send us, they have some other bots in like Estonia that they're sending to our site, and it's like a handshake agreement. It's like, this is fucking you're just
crazy.
Defrauding
it's just
people.
A bubble, right? It just feels like everything's a huge bubble. But that came out today. It's just wild stuff. It almost
those
made
QAnon,
me like
those QAnon numbers are real though. That's the one thing. they do big numbers.
One part of me was thinking though, like, man, I almost just wish at least someone had an idea that slimy just to push Who Charted
It. Yeah,
or
me
like
too.
any of our podcasts. Right. Like, at least let's hear some creative thinking.
Well, I'll ask over on Grift Horse. That's the quasi criminal mind.
There you go. That it's a grift. It's a grift of the ages.
And shout out to Megan Beth Keister, co-host on that show. She solves a video game problem by having a Miss Pac-Man machine in her kitchen.
Oh,
and
cool.
It's also, that you know, rules. It's got the Galaga and, you know, Dig Dug and all that.
That's
stuff,
like, so. That's a temptation for me. I'm like, oh, getting into like pinball, like analog real pinball in the house. That would be very cool.
Fun stuff.
The tabletop, that particular like tabletop arcade Ms. Pac-Man is one I've been eyeing. That's like a grail piece for me. Yeah, that's
great. Right on. If she ever looking to unload it, I'll hit you guys up.
Oh, hell yeah.
Dibs for you guys. I really did have a lot of fun learning about that, and a great break from the movies. And so thank you much for that. And we'll be right back with the Hot Picks. Does Mike play video games too?
Yeah. He's a huge Nintendo fan. Okay. Plays all the Nintendo consoles, yeah.
Have you ever seen the guy on TikTok who goes, hey, buddy, I'm going to make you a tea and we're going to play some old Nintendo games? And then he like...
No, but that sounds right up my alley.
That is the most soothe-core thing. This guy just, he'll make you like hand make you a tea with the grinded lemon and some weird kind of thing in it. And then he just sets it down in front of the Nintendo. It's great.
I love that.
I'll find that guy for you.
Yeah, I still sometimes on Switch, I'll just go back to Mario Maker and just play all these levels that other people have created.
Right.
And they're some of the most brilliant level design I've ever seen. Like, just so far beyond anything I thought you could ever do with like a Mario level. There's endless stuff on that game. That is a very soothing game to me. All right, let's get into the hot picks.
The hot picks. The hot picks. The third chart is the hot picks, and the countdown's about to start. Let's see who bought a hot pick, and let's see who did not. The hot picks. The hot picks.
These are the hot picks. We'll see if we did better than, what were we on? Spotify?
We were on Apple Music this
week. Oh, yeah,
this
Apple. Bet we'll do better, and let's see how we do.
All right, coming in at number five.
Number five.
Howard's first pick. This is Shania Twain, Waking Up Dreaming. It's a new song. It's to show you I do. I do. Every moment holding what? You is a moment stolen. It's true. It's true.
It's not certainly not one of my best hot picks.
Well, I don't know. That's interesting. Like, if you told me, if you asked me to guess who is singing that, I never would have guessed Shania Twain. It is so like modulated and crazy sounding.
Yeah.
It's like the Sam Smith from earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They're both going in a different direction. I think it's like that. That's who should sing a song like that, like a legacy act, or like, you know, someone we're used to. You know, like, I don't want to hear a song like that. And oh, it's some new 17-year-old. Like, it's because it's like it's already disposable. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
Like, like, I want to hear, like, yeah, that's Betty White's new song. You know, or like, some, you know, like, just some old, you know, let them do it, I guess is what I'm saying.
She said there's a line like, gotta be now or never, some like very short phrase like that. And it sounded to me like I could hear three or four takes happening, like within that one phrase.
All right.
Like, I think she punched in like three times. Yeah. Like,
she let me get
the word
right,
gotta right, and then let me get the word that.
Oh, okay. Three different separate clickings.
Yeah, it just felt like really edited.
Mm-hmm. It's an edit record.
Edit record.
Kind of a late period Cher almost.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like kind of Cher kind of just kind of changed her sound later on, and I dug it.
Right. Fuzzy filters on the video. Auto tune. Yep.
Last time I saw Shania Twain, she was on stage with Harry Styles at Coachella, and she looked downright
petrified.
Like smitten and petrified. Like she was actually like in love with this kid.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I think they took her out of 3 years of being stuck inside during pandemic, and then her first thing like outside is to go up on stage at Coachella with Harry Styles. Like she just looked like that afraid of being outside, agoraphobic style. And very much in love with the youngster. Sort of a Harold and Maude for the rock and roll set.
All right, coming in at number four.
Number four.
This is my first pick. This is the Afghan Whigs with The Getaway. Been around a bit.
Solid return for an older band. I mean, Greg Dooley, they used to be huge. They were a big 120 minutes band. They were like MTV. Yeah.
Yeah. It had some of that old, like, I don't know. There's almost some like a Soundgarden-y thing to it or something.
Yeah.
Like the music to it that I like.
What's the, like a Stone Roses kind of feel to it?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
You guys like Matt Pinfield? I was a big Matt Pinfield.
Yeah, Pinfield. Yeah, of course. Like,
this guy's great.
I got interviewed by him once on MTV.
Wow.
Yeah, and he was from my part of New Jersey, suburban central New Jersey. So there were like bands that were like down the block from me that were like Matt Pinfield connection. He was the local radio DJ on our alternative station before he went to be an MTV VJ. So
he always seems like a guy where like you could run into him, you know, at an airport or something. And he would still have that same personality and launch into his tape.
Oh, my God. Greg Dooley and the Whigs. Put out a new one. All right. I'm going to check that out. I'm going to check it out right while we're sitting here. I'm going to check it out. Give me my opinions on it. You know, he knew his tunes. He wasn't just he wasn't like Jesse. Remember? The contest winner, Jesse.
I want to be a VJ or whatever. The guy who went up against Dave Holmes.
Yeah. He put out an album with a band called, it was called Jesse and the 8th Street Kids. And it's like a glam album. It's like they're trying to be like New York Dolls. It's fucking great. It's hilariously great. He's got one of the weirdest vocal deliveries you'll ever hear. It's like choked off, like the way DMC sounds now in interviews from DMC. Just like no air going in the booth.
I always, I obviously loved Headbangers Ball, but I never knew where I stood on Ricky Rockman.
Ricky Rockman.
Yeah, like if he was a great VJ or just kind of okay, but he had the dream job.
I told you the guy who cut my hair, Tipton, he was part of Ricky's posse during that time. So he was running around with Ricky during the Headbangers Ball days. Yeah.
Tipton? Not related to Glenn Tipton.
No, that's his first name, Tipton.
Tipton, that's a great
Tipton Schoolhouse.
What?
Tipton Schoolhouse.
That's a character
that's
name.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's like improv.
Yeah, and he's a big swing dancer. He's cut my hair. I heard about all his swing dance competitions and Ricky Rackman. Great stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Do you have a fast food guy like that in your life? Like he works down at Wendy's, but he's got all these life stories. It's just incredible.
Man, I wish I had a Tipton Schoolhouse.
Yeah.
I wish there was a Tipton Schoolhouse at the Arby's I could connect with.
There's too much turnover there. They don't have a guy like that around very long.
All right, coming in at number three.
Number three.
This is Nick's pick. This is Claris with Alive.
A little J-pop.
Oh, cool.
Nice. I mean,
there you go.
Is that a...
it's like baby metal.
Is that a theme song to anime?
This is one that I struggle with the exercise a little bit because I don't keep up with contemporary music.
No, this
really,
is a great pick. Great pick.
Yeah. Oh, great. Thank you. But this song is from 2022 and it's from a series, Licorice Recoil, where they use this song as the theme song for the anime. And yeah, it's a great fit for the show and it's just a banger in its own right.
Right on. Yeah. High energy. Yeah. Those songs, you can never tell if they're about like saving the universe in an interplanetary dimension or just like some girls in like second grade and she's having like emotional issues. Like they just, they all have those kind of same theme songs to them.
Yeah. It also sounds to me, it sounds very much like a video game soundtrack, like one of those games. I forget what you call them, but where there's just like an overwhelming amount of shit on the screen that you're like shooting through.
Oh, sure.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like just like shoot 'em up kind of style, just very fast paced. I love J-pop. Like I've been partial to J-pop for a while because it just always seems like they're experimenting like at such a like impossible level. Like I can't even
trying to beat Korea. They're trying to dominate Korea.
Yeah.
So they're like throwing a lot of things at the wall to see what sticks.
I don't know. J-pop, you know, I mean, it's been around for a long time, but it's like, it's always sounds so futuristic to me that it's like fascinating.
Right.
Yeah. Like there's just nothing retro in that. You know what I mean? Like there's not a single sound that I'm hearing that feels like, oh, that seems like, you know, the 80s or something.
Yeah, I just love the, you know, 11 out of 10 intensity that just like from the get-go and it just continues through the entire length of the song.
Yeah. And it's like Logan's Run, they kill the engineers once they turn 18.
Right.
No old ideas, you know.
You can never, yeah. That's like in the Euro Dreams of Sushi. Have you ever seen that doc on Netflix?
Oh yeah.
But it was like they talk about how they would train the guys to make just eggs, like an omelet, and they couldn't serve a customer an omelet for like 10 years. They had to train for 10 years
to
get up to the level to serve a proper egg to them.
Why would it take that long?
it's just like the techniques and the, and I don't know, just like the, I can't answer that. It's like, it's just on that level. That's why it's the, one of the most exclusive places, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. It's confusing.
Hey,
There's also there's a self-selection element too, of just like the person who's going to be like, fuck this year two. Yeah. They're like, all right, well, this guy's not cut out for this line of work.
Right. Like, yeah. Just making people hang on until they're the last one left.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, coming in. Oh yeah.
Oh, we got another one.
Coming in at number two.
Number two.
This is my second pick. This is GOAT with Under No Nation.
Does Tom Brady come in later or
what?
Does Tom Brady come in later?
Oh, because the goat.
Yeah,
just waiting for him to.
Joe Montana is the one on the timbalas or whatever that is.
Oh, right on.
Yeah,
no, I like that. Is that
goat?
I guess
cool.
That's world music, right?
Yeah, they kind of have like a like an African sound, but it's actually
for sure.
A Swedish band.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
A Swedish, you know, they're really cool. They have a couple like great records that sound like almost that. Like some old like African funk from the 70s or something.
Right, yeah. Sounds like that conga kind of Afro-Cuban jazz funk stuff.
Yeah.
I like it. Eclectic pick.
Good stuff.
I think they're on Sub Pop.
You don't hear that on much video games, like just those kind of sounds.
Yeah,
no.
You should.
Right. Do you know the story about Miss Pac-Man with the pizza? Do you know that's fast food video game tie-in story?
No. Tell me your version because I'm curious.
They were coming up with ideas or something, and they went out for pizza. And when somebody pulled out the first slice of pizza, somebody looked at it and got the idea for Pac-Man. That could be something that eats things up.
Yeah, Pac-Man back in the day. That's the alleged creation of the character. I when you brought up Ms. Pac-Man, I thought you were going to go on discussion of how Namco, the company that created Pac-Man, doesn't actually own the rights to Ms. Pac-Man. So there's this whole like dispute going on. But that's much less interesting than the pizza anecdote. It's just what sprung to mind.
But I opened up a can of worms here. Yeah, I meant to say Pac-Man. I used to say bit off the genitals, and then it was Miss Pac-Man. You can chop that if you want. Okay.
All right, coming in at number one.
Number one.
This is Howard's second pick. This is the aforementioned Glorilla and Cardi B, but this is the Cardi B part. Riding with my twin and and we all look good as fuck. She said she my op, but I don't know her. Had to look her up. I know that I'm rich, but I can help it, bitch. I'm hood as fuck. I've been on these bitches next so long, sometime I fucking stuck. I can put you in my business. You might wish me dead tomorrow. Bitches be on dick today, sing every word of up tomorrow. Bitch, I still got cases open. Keep your mouth shut tomorrow. Play with me today, then get some sleep. You know it's up tomorrow. Fake bitch, that's why my friend fucked on your nigga. Both you bitches pussy, I think y'all should scissor. She bought a chain, I bought the same one, even bigger. She throwing shots, that's how I know I got a trigger. I don't speak dog ho, I don't care what no.
I was off, but that was the line right at the end. She says, I don't speak dog ho. Like, your language is dog ho.
Yeah.
I don't speak dog ho.
Yeah.
I never heard that before in my life. Constant innovation. Give it up for Cardi.
It's just that it's such intensity. It feels like a wolf lunging at your throat. It's just like, man, that's fucking, they're fucking going for it.
Yeah.
That's
she
great.
She goes hard. She
her
goes
personality
harder than dudes.
Is the same. Like every time you see her in any format, an interview or anything. Like,
yeah, but she's
her,
lovable.
In her rapping. It's great. Yeah. Like you just know
she goes
know
real
it's her.
Hard in the raps, but then she's like all lovable and kind of level-headed and smart a little bit. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Right on. Great picks right there.
Wow.
Thanks so much for doing this. Sorry about you and Mike. No longer together, but we're happy to have
you here. It was inevitable. This is how we're announcing it.
if you guys broke up, who gets the Wendy? Who gets the McDonald's? Who gets the Burger King?
Who
gets the Burger King crown?
Yeah, we got to divide up. We got to cleave everything up in the divorce, like that couple counting Beanie Babies on the floor of the court.
Yeah,
I think it would be like that would be a tough discussion, and I think probably we'd end up pulling a King Solomon and just cutting like all the sandwiches in half.
I think we'd just
split everything. Yeah,
that's sensible.
Yeah,
it's like drawing a line down the middle of the house.
Yeah,
we'll still share it.
Did you see that news story of the perfectly preserved old Burger King that was like in that mall?
They found it behind a wall.
They demoed
a
wall.
Oh,
and there was
wow,
a
I didn't
full
see this.
Empty Burger King that was exactly how it was in like 93. It's a fascinating news story. Check it out. I know you got to run. So,
you got to jump.
Yeah, you want to plug anything?
Hey, check out, first off, thank you both for having me. Howard,
absolutely,
thank you for entertaining our tangent about video game obscura. And I'm looking at this 80s Burger King right now. Check out this news article on Daily Mail because this is fascinating. And then also check out Doughboys podcast about chain restaurants, me and Mike Mitchell, and check out Get Played, a podcast about video games, me, Matt Apodaca, and Heather Ann Campbell.
Right on. And thank you so much. Check out Comedy Bang Bang World. Check out WhoChartedPod.com. And we will see you right here next week on Who Charted.